Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 38, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. Mrityur janmavatam vira dehena sahajayate adyavabda shatanteva mrityurvai praninam truha. Chant. Mrityur janmavatam vira dehena sahajayate adyavabda shatanteva mrityurvai praninam duvaha. Mrityur janmavatam vira dehena sahajayate adyavabdashtandeva jyurvai praninam juva. Mrityur janmavatam vira dehena sahajayate adyavabdashtandeva mrityurvai praninam juva. Ladies. Mrityur janmavatam vira dehena sahajayate adyavabdashtandeva mrityurvai praninam juva. Mrityurvai praninam truva. Your janmavatam vira sahajayate adyavabdashtandeva mrityurvai praninam truva. Mrityuh death, janmavatam of the living entities who have taken birth. Vira, O great hero. Dehena saha, along with the body. Jayate, is born. One who has taken birth is sure to die. Adya, today. Va, either. Of the shata, of hundreds of years. Ante, at the end. Va, or. Mrityuhu, death. Vai, indeed. Praninam, for every living entity. Tuva is assured. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O great hero, one who takes birth is sure to die, for death is born with a body. One may die today or after hundreds of years, but death is sure for every living entity. purport. Vasudeva wanted to impress upon Kamsa that although Kamsa feared dying and therefore wanted to kill even a woman, he could not avoid death. Death is sure. Why then should Kamsa do something that would be detrimental to his reputation and that of his family? It's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:27. Japtasya hi tuvamityor duvam jamamitasya dasmat aparihalyate tatang shautitum arhasi. For one who has taken his birth, death is certain. And for one who is dead, birth is certain. Therefore, the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. One should not fear death. Rather, one should prepare oneself for the next birth. One should utilize one's time in this human form to end the process of birth and death. It is not that to save oneself from death, one should entangle oneself in sinful activities. This is not good. Chakshumiritam yena tasamai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Kamsa was a Kshatriya. So Vasudeva is appealing to his sense of Kshatriya chivalry. Oh, great hero. You're such a great hero, but great heroes don't kill women. That is not the duty of a Kshatriya. Yes, death is there, but you should not be afraid of death. Kamsa was afraid of death. So what is the purpose of death? Why is there death? Why do we have to suffer? Why do we have to go through death? What is the purpose? Well, I found two purposes of death. One purpose was to show that a life of sense gratification based on this body is temporary. You can't keep it. Even it says in Gita, anityam, that it's temporary. This is a temporary place full of misery. So you may say, no, I'm happy here. But okay, you may be happy, but you can't stay here. You can't keep it. It'll be taken away from you at the time of death. So therefore, the conclusion is do your duty. And also for devotees, there's a conclusion here. We should prepare oneself for the next birth, utilize one's time in this human form to end the process of birth and death. So the purpose of death is to remind us that even though we may think, oh, there is happiness here, I can have a good life here. But no, you can't keep it. And then when old age comes, it's more clear how you can't keep your youthful sense of enjoyment, because you just can't enjoy anymore. So one purpose of death is to show how this life of sense gratification is temporary. This happiness is temporary. Now, a second purpose of death is to show the atheist who is God. They don't believe in God, so God comes as death, because that's the one that they cannot control. They have no control over their death. So a great example was Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. His father was always challenging, where is God? Show me God. You're talking about God. And Prabhupada said, yes, you will see. Not now. Just when all your sinful activities are mature, then death will come. And you will see him. You will see God. So everyone has seen God. The devotee sees in his heart, in the temple. The devotee sees everywhere. And the atheist, he'll see, Prabhupada says, when the handles of the clock are over. When the handles of the clock of their life come to the end, midnight, and they will see God. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was always seeing Krishna. He was seeing Krishna everywhere. He was a Mahabhagavat. Because he had prema, he had this ointment of prema in his eyes, so he could see Krishna everywhere, even as a small child. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. So when we have this special ointment that we put on our eyes, then we can see God. Prabhupada always would say that, yes, when people say, show me God, he says, you cannot see. I have to do operation on your eyes. You have a cataract on your eyes, and so therefore you cannot see. The cataract is that I can enjoy. I am God. This is a cataract. And so it's not that God doesn't exist. You cannot see him, that's all. My eyes are not competent to see God, so I say, oh, there is no God. But Krishna is everywhere. So we're very proud of our eyes, and when people say, can you show me God? Then we can tell them, yes, you can see. Well, of course, we say, come to our temple, you can see. You can see Krishna everywhere. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, then you can understand what is the process, how to see God everywhere. Actually, we can see him without, and we can see him within. Srila Prabhupada explains that we have a TV in our heart, and that TV is spiritual. We also have a material TV in our heart, too. Most of the time, that TV is on, and we're tuned in to the material channel, Facebook or something like that. But there is a spiritual TV in our heart. And when we clean our heart by chanting Hare Krishna, then that TV will be fixed. Now it's broken. Of course, not only chanting Hare Krishna, we need some good repairmen to fix that TV in our heart. And those are three. That's Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. They can repair the TV in our heart, and then we'll have the Goloka channel, Vrindavan channel, Navadvip channel, or Ayodhya channel, or Vaikuntha channel, whichever channel you like to tune into in your heart. So this is the difference between the devotee and the demon. Prahlad was always seeing Krishna. And so the day came when Hiranyakashipu asked him, is he in this pillar? And Prahlad looked and he said, yes, he could see. He could see Krishna in the pillar. And so therefore, his father struck the pillar and out came Nrisingadev. And so after he killed Nrisingadev and he asked Prahlad, what do you want? What is he? I don't want anything. No, no, you take something. So what did he ask for? He said, please excuse my father. Please give him liberation. And Nrisingadev said, not only your father, but 14 generations before and after, they all got liberation. Now Vaishnava is the ocean of mercy. So the topic today is death. So I'd like to go to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 4. It's described, there's four kinds of death. The word used in Srimad Bhagavatam is four kinds of annihilation of the body. So what are these four kinds of death? There is the first kind, it's called naimitika. It's occasional, it happens sometimes. So what is this occasional death? Is when Lord Brahma goes to sleep at the end of his day. And everything goes within Narayan's belly. And the whole universe goes inside while Lord Brahma sleeps. So that's naimitika. This is one kind of death. We have gone through all these kinds of death, and that's why we don't want to die. It's not very pleasant to go through these deaths, especially if you think you're this body. So naimitika, that's called occasional annihilation or death. Prakritika is when the whole universe is finished and it goes back into Vishnu. Prakritika, and all the elements, they are destroyed, and the whole universe. And all the energies become disassembled and they merge together totally and become the pradhan. So that's naimitika, prakritika, and then there's a final death called adyantika. And what is this adyantika? That is when our false ego is cut off with knowledge, the sword of knowledge, and we realize Krishna and we go back to Godhead. That's the final death, because after that, no more death. Final death, adyantika, is when we go back to Godhead, back to home. We realize our identity as servants of Krishna. So here in the purport, Prabhupada says, one should not fear death. Rather, one should prepare oneself for the next birth. One should utilize one's time in this human form to end the process of birth and death. So hopefully that will be our destination after this life. If we devote ourselves every second, pray to Krishna every second to remember him and to engage in his service. Now there's one more kind of death, and that we are experiencing every second. It is called nitya. It is called nitya because it is going on all the time, constantly. In our body, cells are dying and cells are being born. We are constantly dying at every second. So there's a constant process of creation and annihilation. Even Brahma is going through this process. He's not immune. Everyone who has a body in this material world, he's going through this nitya annihilation. So we can understand this a little bit more clearly by one analogy, which is given by Krishna in the Uddhava Gita. Uddhava Gita is in the 11th canto. And there it's described, we have 24 gurus. And one of the 24 gurus is fire. So fire, the flames of a fire appear and disappear at every moment, but we don't notice this creation and destruction. If you have a flame of a candle and you look at the flame, it looks like the same flame moment to moment, but actually it's different. It's different molecules. It's different parts of the candle that are burning. It's not the same. They're all different kinds of molecules of fire are there, but it looks the same. So similarly, the mighty waves of time flow constantly. This is 11.749. Just like a river. So if you're looking at a river, the water looks the same. This is the river, but actually it's different water going through before you at every second. So how does that compare to the body? The birth, the growth of our body is always changing. The body is always changing, but it looks the same, unless you get really old, and then you can see it changing before your eyes. So just like the fire looks the same, but it's different molecules, and the water looks the same. So our bodies look the same. We look like, oh, that, yeah, I know her. Except unless someone hasn't seen you for 20 years, and then it's not the same anymore. People don't even recognize you. I know I left home when I was 18, and I had two younger brothers. One was 6 and one was 8 years old. And then I got married, then I went to India for 10 years. And after 10 years, they were 16 and 18. And if I had met them on the street, I wouldn't have recognized them. Because I left them, they were 6 and 8 years old. It's a complete change of body. I didn't know what they looked like. We didn't have internet in those days, in the 70s. We didn't have Facebook where you could post your pictures. So, I went back. They would be complete strangers to me, the body. So this is an example how it changes. So the body is certainly subject to these changes. And death is all around us. We have to go through death. As Yudhisthira said to his father Dharmaraj, it's the most wonderful thing that all around us people are dying, but we think, not me, it won't happen to me. I'll live forever. So do we ever think what it would be like to be dying? Or they have already left our body. We see so many devotees leaving their bodies, but do we ever think one day it will be us? It will be the last cremation we attend, and we will be there in the fire, and we don't have to worry about getting a ride back to the temple. Nature will already have arranged our transportation free of charge. And we won't, you know, what are the devotees are thinking, what kind of prasad is going to be thereafter. But, and there we are, we're gone. And the world, for a few days, they may think of us and remember us. But then the world goes on without a beat. And we're going on to our next destination. So one devotee, his mother got Alzheimer's disease. And before that, she didn't like his involvement in Krishna consciousness. But then after she got Alzheimer's, she forgot about that, and she really liked him. And she thought, wow, he's so nice. But the problem was he was a stranger to her. And when just before she left her body, she said to him, it was so nice to have met you. Her son, you know. So that's actually how it is. I mean, that's a very profound truth, that we meet each other in this life. But actually, then we go on to our next destination. We come, we meet, we separate, and we don't meet again in the same forms. But we think this life is everything, and we become attached. So devotees, what about devotees? Devotees in death. Prabhupada has given a wonderful analogy of the cat carrying the rat in its mouth. And that is for the non-devotee at the time of death. He's in extreme fear and extreme anxiety. He may be seeing the Yamadutas already. It happens before you die. And that's why they go into the coma, because they don't want to go with the Yamadutas. It's very fearful. But for the devotee, it's like the mother cat carrying the kitten in her mouth. And the kitten feels secure and safe and happy because the mother is taking the kitten home. Sometimes the kittens, they go astray. So the mother grabs them by the neck and puts them back in the home. And so sometimes, even before death, we may go astray sometimes. So Krishna, we feel the teeth of the mother cat taking us. No, no, not that way. This way. We'll go this way. Sometimes we get difficulties in this life. But it's Prabhupada said, it's just the teeth of the mother cat taking us back home. And so Prabhupada, he exemplified how devotees go beyond death. Devotees do not experience death in the same way as materialistic people who do not believe in God. So in 1976, one time, this was 77, I think, he got some of his books in Portuguese presented to him by Hridayananda Maharaj. And Prabhupada said, this is life. The material world is just bones. The bones are not our real life. Our real concern is the living force. The bones may remain or the bones may go. It doesn't matter. But the real life is sustaining the bones. There is a science, a history. There was a rishi who had only lived on bones. I think Hiranyakashipu also, he did it. There's a science. You can live in your bones. You don't need your flesh. You know, they do their austerities, then the ants eat their flesh. The red ants come and they eat their whole body, but they don't give up their austerities. Even Hiranyakashipu, he went through that. So the devotees, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, said, you are also doing it, Srila Prabhupada. Because he was, the last 6 months, he didn't have any muscles or anything. It was just bones. So Prabhupada said, take care of the bones as long as possible, but the real life is here, the soul. The material world means we're just protecting bones and flesh together, but no knowledge of what they are. So Atreya Rishi came, and he said, please come to Tehran. Please visit Tehran. Prabhupada said, now you have to take a bundle of bones. So Udayananda, he told Udayananda, we saw his memories, I think, yesterday or the day before. And Prabhupada said, I should give up lying here in Vrindavan and go out and preach. Take me to the New York temple. And if I die, put my tomb on top of Radha Govinda temple on 55th Street. I want to die preaching it with the New York preachers. So that was the spirit of the devotee. He never gives up. And we should also never give up. We should never give up our spiritual life. Always keep trying, even if it's difficult. So how can we go beyond death? There is a verse in Canto 2, Chapter 3, Verse 17. Ayur harati vaipunsam udhyanastam chayan asalta syarta yakshananita uttama shoka vartaya. Both by rising and setting, the sun decreases duration of life of everyone, except one who uses his time discussing the topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. So if you come to Bhagavatam class, you won't die while you're here at least, because the sages have called Yamaraj to come and attend the Bhagavatam class. So the sages are here when we're reading. Shukadeva is here. And Yamaraj is here also. One time Burjan was giving this class and he said, maybe one of you is Yamaraj. We don't know who is here. Because Yamaraj likes to come and hear katha, especially Bhagavat katha. So as long as we're here, then we don't have to worry about death. And the sun cannot take away our life. Our life may be extended, or we may not die at all. We'll just go straight back to Godhead. Maybe not in our same body, but who cares? We don't need to take this body back. We just go when it's our time. So there's another beautiful verse in Canto 1, Na kaschen miyate tavat yavarasta yantaka itaratam hi bhagavan ahuta paramarshibi hari loke pieta hari lilamita vacha. Oh, this is about Yamaraj. As long as Yamaraj is present here, no one shall meet with death. Right. Living beings who are under his grip should take advantage by hearing the deathless nectar in the form of this narration. Yes, so that's the verse. I said it before I got to it. Okay. Anyway, so it says, Ahoni loke pieta. O human beings, please drink. Drink Srimad Bhagavatam. In the beginning, Niyama kapataror galitam phalam, that this Bhagavatam is rasa. Shukamukad amritam. Pivata Bhagavatam rasam alayam. That this is a rasa. What does rasa mean? Juice. Bhagavatam is not a heavy thing to digest because it's already been digested by Shukadev and by Srila Prabhupada. So we are taking a juice. We are not taking a food. Food is sometimes you cannot digest, but juice is very easy. So this Bhagavatam is a juice. You just have to drink it. Pieta. Oh, human beings, drink Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada said, Yamaraj, death is not to be feared by devotees. It's to be feared by the rascals who have forgotten Krishna. And they have come to enjoy and they have to be punished. So for them, death. For them, Yamaraj. So we just go on drinking Bhagavatam and we will not be afraid of death. So Prabhupada said everyone in this human society should join this Krishna conscious movement and be saved from death. So he said, So as soon as you come and you start chanting and you join this movement, your death is stopped. No more death. But you can nullify it if you go against the bhakti principle. If you leave bhakti, then your death comes back. So we have to be really careful. If you simply know Yamaraj is there, then you will not die. He has to listen to Krishna, actually. It's described in Bhagavatam that even Yamaraj has to die. When the whole universe is finished, then Yamaraj is also finished. So, because Krishna, everyone is afraid of Krishna. Not Krishna, the beautiful Krishna, but Krishna, the heavy creator of this world. Even all the demigods are afraid of him. They were afraid of Nrisingadev when he came. And Prahlad had, the pure devotee had to come and pacify Nrisingadev. So the demigods could go on with their work. They couldn't do their service because they were so afraid. But the pure devotee can pacify the Lord. So Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is for those who want to be free of death. So Prabhupada often said two things that we should follow. Kirtanaya Sadahari and Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That always chant Hare Krishna and always serve Srimad Bhagavatam. And then you'll be free of fear, you'll be free of death. So I'll stop here. If there's any questions or comments, you can ask them at this point. Yes, Prabhu. Pardon me? Okay, in the microphone. Yeah.
Somebody's not a pure devotee, so they're not going back to Godhead. Do they appear before Yamaraj?
Does the devotee appear before Yamaraj?
No, not devotees. Let's say even ordinary people. People who aren't, we know sinful people appear before Yamaraj.
Yes.
What about pious people? Do they also appear before Yamaraj? Or what about?
Yes.
They do.
Because we have the example of King Nimi. Was it King Nimi? No.
King
who
Nurga?
Was the one in Krishna book?
King Nurga?
Who was
it? N-R-G-A.
King Nurga. He was very pious, and Yamaraj said, you have to enjoy so much, unlimited enjoyment, but you also have to suffer. Which one you want first? So, I mean, they get more of a choice. They don't have to, you know. You get more of a leeway. There is all these rules I read in some Purana. If you give food to people, then you won't be hungry on the path to Yamaraj when the Yamadutas take you. If you give clothing, you won't be naked. If you give water, you won't be thirsty. If you give cars and vehicles, you will ride in a chariot to Yamaloka. So, according to your piety, Yes, you do. You still have to see Yamaraj. And even Dhruva saw Yamaraj. Actually, Yamaraj came to get his darshan. Dhruva Maharaj stepped on the head of Yamaraj to get into his Vaikuntha airplane. So for the devotees, of course, it's different. But those who do pious activities, they also have to see Yamaraj. Because Nriga was going on his way to heaven.
Okay. That sounds good. What about devotees who aren't pure devotees, who aren't going back to Godhead?
What about devotees who aren't going back to Godhead? Well, for us, we have Srila Prabhupada. So he's our intermediary there. So Prabhupada, if we are devotees, Prabhupada does not forget our service, even if we fall down. And he'll be there for us at the time of death. So I would say that if you've done any sincere service for Srila Prabhupada, he'll come and take you. It may be a next birth that's very good for you, or it may be back to Godhead. If you're not ready to go back to Godhead, then he'll be there for us. That is my experience with devotees dying in Vrindavan. That Prabhupada is most usually there, even if they're not pure devotees, even if they've done a bunch of nonsense. Prabhupada is present at the time to claim us as his. So I would say that, it's not necessary to go to Yamaraj for the devotees.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki? I think you're famous. Yeah, that was a memory from Udayananda. Same quote. I copied it from the memories book of Udayananda. He said, I want to go and preach. And you can put, if I die, put my tomb on 55th Street and the New York Temple on top. I want to die with my New York preachers. Beautiful quote, huh? Yeah.
Put in the drawer.
Yeah, you are out for everybody. You are. What is best? What is the best thing that he will do? If you need, no. He said, you chant 16 rounds and follow the four great principles, I will take you back. Yeah. Just keep doing that 16 rounds without offense.
Yamaraj, Jiva Tattva.
My understanding is, excuse me, and I don't have a quote for this, that just like there are Yamadutas that take you to Yamaloka, there are different kinds of dutas.
Vishudutas.
No, not Vishnu dutas.
Well,
within this material world, there's Chandra dutas, there's Surya dutas. It depends on where your destination is. Someone always accompanies you. You don't go by yourself. Let's say you're destined to go to the sun.
Well, there's the pilots of the airplanes.
Yeah. So let's say you're destined to go to the sun after this lifetime because you're a sun worshiper.
But I never heard about the dutas.
Yeah, but there are servants who take you to wherever your destination is. I mean, so you don't just like leave this body. And where do I go?
No.
Somebody always comes and takes you
taken.
Personally.
Yeah,
to wherever you're supposed to go.
But for us, it's probably.
That I don't know. Prabhupada's going to take you. Let's say, like you said about Jayananda, if he has some desire to enjoy, he's going to go to heavenly planet. I don't know if Prabhupada is the one who takes you, because Prabhupada still.